Our reading this evening is taken from Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. That's Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. So the title of the message this evening is The Conversion of the Ethiopian Eunuch, or, if you like, An Anatomy of Conversion. Our reading this evening shows us God's love and care for one individual. He was a seeker of God who needed to have the gospel clearly explained to him. He was a sincere man who had religion but not salvation. He was near to the kingdom of God, but not yet in it. And there is a big difference. He was a man who worshipped and honoured God, and he read his Bible, as we see in the text. He had the Old Testament, but this man remained unconverted. The Bible is very clear that true conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we do, but something God does in us. It is He who entirely determines who, when, and where, as this passage makes very clear. God helps us to see our true state by nature, showing us our sinfulness before Him, and our utter inability to save ourselves by either our own works or any merit that we think we have. What we could not do, however, God did by sending His beloved Son to be our Saviour, working faith in us that we may believe and trust in Him alone for salvation. And this is what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. God indeed calls on all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel and to seek the Lord while He may be found. Scripture tells us that He will in no way turn away those who come to Him. So we have every incentive to come. And if we come, we have the confidence to know that we will not be overlooked. The preacher, Arthur Pink, said, "An infinite mind is capable of paying the same attention to millions as if only one individual were seeking its attention." So we could say we have God's complete attention at all times. But of course we must approach God in the right way. As in life, attitude is everything, because the scriptures tell us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So some simple headings for the reading this evening is Philip's mission, Philip's man, Philip's meeting, Philip's message, and Philip's mandate. So first of all, Philip's mission. We read, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went," we're told. So this is Philip the evangelist, not Philip the apostle. Philip the evangelist is one of the seven deacons appointed in Acts chapter 6. Philip was called and sent, we note, by the angel of the Lord, or an angel of the Lord, as the text suggests. He was told specifically where to go and what route to take. It was to be the desert route from Jerusalem to Gaza, which would have been a secondary route, not the main thoroughfare. And of course he wasted no time, because we're told he arose and went as soon as the command was given. God wanted him to preach the gospel to this one man. And this one man, more than likely, was a Gentile like us. What can we say of this? Well, we can think of what great lengths God will go to find his lost sheep. So no one needs worry or despair, because God knows exactly where you are. So call on him, because we are given every encouragement in Romans 10 verse 13, which tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today God speaks to us through his Bible, his word, the Bible. It contains all we need to know about what we are to believe and how we should live. Writing to Timothy, the Apostle Paul said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." A text is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So Philip's man. "Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet." So we're told he was an Ethiopian eunuch, a man of very high rank. We're told he had great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and he had charge of all her treasure. As we thought, he was a convert to Judaism and had been to Jerusalem to worship. He had come to believe that the God the Jews worshipped was the one true living God. By his efforts to attend temple worship, we see he was a God-fearing man. His journey to Jerusalem would have been a long, arduous, weary, and quite possibly a dangerous one. As he journeyed home in his chariot, we're told he read his Bible, which would have been the Old Testament in those days. He read it out aloud. He read from Isaiah 53, which was a well-known messianic passage. It clearly portrayed the suffering and death of God's servant for the sins of others. But he was puzzled as to its true meaning, and he wanted to know more. Materially, this man had everything he needed, everything this world could offer. But spiritually, he knew, deep down inside, he was poor and destitute. And that just like a prodigal, spite of all his wealth and position, he was in want spiritually. He longed for the peace, longed for peace with God and assurance of eternal life when he died. But all he had was doubts, insecurity, and a troubled mind. And this is the state and condition of most people who, when they consider their eternal soul and what happens when they die, this is how many people feel, insecure. Perhaps there's someone listening today like this. You want assurance that all is well with your soul. Well, I hope you can see that it takes more than religion and Bible reading, even, good as they are. Eunuch had and did those things, but was not yet a true believer. God knows everything that goes on in the world. We must make no bones about this. God knows everything that goes on in the world. He has to know everything because he has decreed all future events, from the greatest to the least. They are contingent on him, hence the wise counsel in Psalm 2. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We only become blessed when we put our trust, our hope, our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that psalm is telling us. So Philip's meeting. We're told then, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except the man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. So at the direction of the Holy Spirit, Philip was told, go near and join yourself to this chariot. It was very specific. It would have been one of many as they travelled in a convoy in those days for safety. But it was this chariot, not that one, or that one over there. It was this chariot. And you can imagine Philip's excitement when he heard the eunuch reading from the prophet Isaiah as he drew near to that chariot. So he asked him, understandest thou what thou readest? So the eunuch read God's word, but lacked any real spiritual understanding. Of course, only the Holy Spirit can help us to understand God's word. That's why it's so confusing to many as they read the Bible. We need to read the Bible, humbly asking the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the contents of God's word. And more importantly, as importantly, to apply it to our hearts, that we might act upon it. That's what he's called the Spirit of Truth. Here he uses Philip to teach and help this man. This man was humble enough to admit he needed help. He replied, how can I, except the man guide me? He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now think about this. This man would have been protected by armed guards. He was a very important man. He wasn't used to mixing with common people. It was far below him to talk to the lower classes, let alone invite Philip to sit and explain the passage to him. So we see here in this man a real humility. He humbled himself to know more about God. And he's an example to all of us. If we would know more about God, we must approach God in the right way. We must be humble before him. He humbled himself to know more about God. And so should we. Pride is our biggest stumbling block when it comes to finding out more about God. No one likes to admit that they are lost without Jesus. No one likes to admit this. And yet, if we don't, to ourselves first, and be honest with ourselves, we will never seek him. And we know the Bible tells us it's only those that seek that find. We must seek him. So, Philip's message, number 4. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? The eunuch, we know, was reading from Isaiah 53, which is a prophetic, messianic prophecy, passage. The passage clearly shows that God did everything necessary to save us. It speaks of God's servant, sent by God to be a sin offering for all who believe. The eunuch asked Philip an important question. He said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? It gave Philip the opportunity to tell him that Jesus was the one Isaiah spoke about. And we're told he began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus, that Jesus was the Son of God who came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, which is all fallen men and women. That he offered himself up as a sacrifice for the sins of everyone who would believe on him. That all who repent of their sins and turn to him would be forgiven and be saved from the wrath of God to come. There's a lovely hymn that reminds us of this. It tells us, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, he pardoned the sins. And that's from the hymn, To God Be the Glory. And that's what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. When he heard about Jesus, he believed and was pardoned that moment. Now he wanted to show he'd been converted, that his heart had been changed. And he said to Philip, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? The peace he longed for was only found when he put his faith, trust, and hope in Jesus Christ for salvation. And that's true of every believer. We only find peace with God when we come in God's way. And God's way is for us to come through his beloved Son, who is the only mediator between God and men. The hymn by Joseph Hart warmly invites poor sinners to the Saviour. Verse 1 calls us, Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. And in verse 6 we read, Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Note, you must feel your need of him, just like this Ethiopian eunuch did and he was blessed as he saw his need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save him from his sins, the punishment of his sins. He put his trust in Jesus and was truly converted. So fifthly, Philip's mandate. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And it went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Philip then had been sent to preach the gospel to him, this one man, in this lonely place, en route to his home country, in the most unlikeliest place, to hear the gospel. He'd been to worship at Jerusalem. He was now returning home and is yet in a state of sin and unbelief. And God converted him. God truly changed his heart. And Jesus ordained baptism as a sign of faith in him for the converted. It is a picture of cleansing. That the soul of the individual has been cleansed by the blood of Christ, not by the water, but it's a sign that he's been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And only the truly converted should participate in this. That's why Philip says to him, if thou believest with all thy heart, that is, that Jesus is the true and only Saviour of the world, and you can say, I trust him as my Saviour. The eunuch sums up his profession with these words of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Of course, that's a very short statement, but it encapsulates everything that we need to know, that Jesus Christ is the only Saviour, because he is the Son of God. And on this profession of faith, Philip baptized him. Then, we're told, Philip was then miraculously spirited away by the Holy Spirit. And the eunuch continued on his way rejoicing. He had become a true follower of Jesus, and his sins were forgiven. He couldn't have been happier. The knot had been untied. His eyes were open. He saw for the first time that he was cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had left the world side, and he had become a citizen of heaven. And this is true of every believer. This is what happens when we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just some observations for our help here. We see that Philip was a serious believer, and he studied how to give an answer of the hope that was in him. He's an example to us of how every Christian should be, because we live in a fallen world, and there are many people who are looking for answers in our day and age, as in every age. And how can we answer of the hope that's within us if we neglect the study of the Holy Scriptures? And we note that he used Scripture as his means to lead the man to Christ. Very encouraging. He preached Christ, we're told, and him crucified. Very important that all our ministry is Christ-centered, because he is the only message we have, to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. He also didn't practice easy believism, but tested the profession of the Ethiopian eunuch. Even though he had been led to him by the Holy Spirit, he could have quite easily bypassed that stage, but he didn't. He tested the profession of the Ethiopian eunuch. These are valuable insights for us today, as in every other age. The Apostle John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets, indeed many false Christians, we could say, are gone out into the world." So in conclusion, we will only find peace and rest for our souls when we do things God's way. Noah and his family had to go into the ark to be saved. That was God's command to them. Likewise, today we must go to the Lord Jesus Christ, because no one and nothing else will suffice. There is no other way. This only is God's way. And our final appeal must be to Scripture. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That can be found in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And we can find that text in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. So may God help us all not to neglect these things, and to be as zealous and as diligent as the Ethiopian eunuch was in searching the Scriptures to find out how he could have peace and rest for his soul. And in seeking, he found that treasure of treasures, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his Saviour.